Today we're going to look at the New Testament biblical references to the word soul, which appears 95 times in my little Greek app here, 95 times in the New Testament, and the word is psuche, like it starts with a P-S, and it's got a key in there, and we actually get the word psychology from the word psuche. The philosophers a century and a half ago, one of the schools of philosophy, they wanted to name their philosophy, which they felt like Freud and others would bring healing, but they wanted to keep God out of it, but they took the Greek word for soul. So really it was the study of the soul. Now, of course, generations have gone, and it's really just the study of the mind because the soul has changed. So a lot of people think, when they think of the word psychology, they think of mental health. But it originally was out of philosophy. You know, one of the things that we've often contemplated in the philosophy circles, especially Christian philosophy circles, I was talking with Dr. Roy Clauser, and he was talking about how the kind of the Enlightenment and then philosophy that would bring healing, the concept was that, you know, you'd heal the soul, but it really would heal the soul without the presence of God. And that the solutions had this idea that, no, God is not really there, and the solutions of healing not really there. So psychology came in these techniques that would do that. So it was a philosophy disguising as psychology. And now as we come and look at our world, we're seeing that Christianity has healing and it brings renewal, but it all starts with psuche in the New Testament. So that's what we're going to look at today. And the first reference, and I'll start there, is the Magnificat. Magnificat, or however you pronounce that. And where Mary says, after finding out that she is going to be the mother of the Lord Jesus, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." So, you know, our soul sings. Our soul, body and spirit, and every other aspect of us magnifies the Lord. And when we worship, go to a church to worship the Lord with, it's our soul, but that is a bodily reality and it's a spirit reality. It includes the mind and the emotions and the will and the heart, our center, all of that, like Mary, then magnifies my psuche. So amazing. So what priority do you give your soul? And you can read Matthew 16, verse 13 and 28 on your own. But I want to point out to verses 24 and 26 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So there it is. There it is. So, disciples of Jesus Christ lay down their life. Then it goes on to say, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." Now, it's interesting there, if you know Greek, you'll see that is translated there as life, but the actual Greek there, for instance, "and whoever will lose his life," the word there is psuche, the word for soul. Whoever will lose his soul for my sake will find it. Then later on, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his pazuke? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? And that word life also has pazuke in it. So when Jesus speaks, he takes the matters of the soul very seriously. Guard your heart. Guard your soul. We have people today who have such bitterness of soul, bitterness of heart. They have left that go untreated, unnoticed. There's a term in psychology called psychosomatic, and it's an old term, and it's where the psycho, and again, that's defined as mental illness today only for many places, but the soul sickness affects the body. Psychosomatic. Soma is the Greek word body. Psycho, soul, somatic illness. And we see that in ministry, don't we? Where somebody's soul is crushed. And if you really get into it and start seeing like how this is thought of, it's fascinating in the Proverbs how the soul health and bodily health all connect. So here's that word, pazuke. Pazuke from bazuko, breath, soul. Abstractly or concretely, thus distinguished on the one hand from pneuma, that's spirit, which is spiritual, and on the other hand, zoe, which is body. We get the word, like I mentioned before, psychology from this word. Jesus and the soul. Here's just a few examples. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life, that word is pazuke, for my sheep, for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own. I'm known by my own. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore, the Father loves me because I lay down my life, my pazuke, that I may take it back up again. So Jesus, when he talks about one of the I am statements, I am the good shepherd, he makes it very clear that he puts his own soul on the line, his own essence. When he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is fully body and spirit engaged fully. When he dies, his body died by his stripes. We are healed. His spirit, he said to his Father, I commit you my spirit, went to be with his Father. And there's other places in the Bible that talk about how his spirit, how he preached to spirits in prison. And you can do a big study about this. It's just as interesting as ever that we have a spiritual life. And you'll hear stories in ministry about these near-death experiences where the spirit separates from the body. And in that moment, they're resuscitated in that moment, and somehow that spirit comes back. So you see how that soul is constructed fearfully and wonderfully. The power of the Word of God for the healing of the soul in the Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, okay, so and of joint and marrow, the body. Notice of the division of the soul, that is the spirit, joint, marrow, the body, and discerning the thoughts. And here the mind comes in, and the intentions of the heart being the center of it all. So you see how powerfully all of this connects together. You know, when I think about the word pazuke in the Bible, I am just amazed that we as living souls are constructed by God. And then to think about soul centers, that this is what we're going to be working on that's what you're going to be working on in your soul center. And I just want to end by talking about soul center in the New Testament, James 5, verse 16. I can just imagine this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay, so the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And you just know that is healing for the soul. The prayer of a righteous man has great power and is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings him back, brings a sinner back from his wandering and saves his soul from death will cover a multitude of sins. That's the fire of a soul center. So we see all over the New Testament that word soul. So what really soul occurs? So what really are some takeaways? Well, first of all, just to kind of conclude from the New Testament, you are a soul with a body and a spirit. Your soul is your body, your soul is your spirit. And two, your eye or wanter, your heart, is in your soul, that is in your body and spirit. Your wanter of your soul steers your life. So we talked about that your heart, issues of life, your heart speaks. And your soul has a fallen and has fallen, and your soul wanter wars within itself. But Jesus saved your soul, and you can look at Romans 7 and 8. 7 is talking about how what I want to do, this I don't do. And then 8, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ saves your soul. Your soul is your essence, breath and life. Learn how to care for its future and health. Have the whole world, having the whole world, but losing your soul is sad. And that's what soul centers are about, is having people get connected to God and thrive at their most core level.